Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Wednesday, April 14th. Hump Deuce. It's a Hump Deuce, Alex. And it's another one of those rip the Band-Aid off type of episodes. Where we just
get right into it.
We got to get right into the bad news, which is, well, we sort of had a feeling after at the end of last night's episode where we spent about 5 minutes unable to speak when Jamal Murray went down with his injury in the mid podcast. And we found out today, Jamal Murray out for the year, torn ACL. It's just shitty. For multiple reasons. Obviously, it's shitty for him, but it's just the continuation of this season, man. It just, we can't. So I saw a stat today. I think that's either the fourth or fifth torn ACL this season, which is like the most in years.
Right.
And a lot of people, I mean, saying what we've been saying all along, and we're not the only ones, that there's definitely some correlation between short turnaround. Teams are playing every other day. There's no rest or try. I mean, it's just the way the schedule is this year. It's got to be the reason, right? It's got to be, or a big part of the reason. Just too much of a coincidence that every team is just.
What I was gonna say is either that is what it's related to, or there's a wild coincidence going on. So you know, like it's getting hard to believe at this point the amount of them. So, I mean, it really sucks, and I'm assuming these billionaire owners have people studying these case, you know, like studying what's going on. And that's always amazed me, specifically about the NFL, is like that there's no like preventative measures. Like these injuries keep, it seems like they keep increasing year after year. So
I agree, but I do think there has been studies that show that even when it seems like there's a lot of injuries, that it stays pretty plateau, like year after year.
Yeah,
it's similar. It's just that some years you notice it more than others because of the names.
That makes sense. Yeah,
but this year particularly, the ACLs, there's more than usual. I think the most there's been, there were the most there's ever been, I think I read, was 7 in a season, but that was a while ago.
Yeah,
and then over the last like 5 or so years, there was like maybe 3 was the most. And then now this year, there's either 4 or 5. That was either the fourth or fifth. But you combine that with the fact that half of the top 10 players in the NBA this year, if not more, have missed extended periods of time. There's been other season-ending injuries. And then guys have to sit out with COVID. So then when they come back, they're out of shape. So they're getting injured like that. Like we're recording right now. It's 11:57 on the East Coast. And it's the fourth quarter of the Heat game, and Jimmy Butler just went down with it. He turned his ankle, and it looks like he's okay. He's sitting on the bench, but man, we were just about to start recording. I was like, oh shit, not another one. Jimmy Butler a lot of guys are tough, but Jimmy's usually just plays through it, gets right up, walks it off. So for him to be down as long as he was and to, you know, sort of be helped to the bench is a scary thing to see. And it just, this whole season, man, it's just like, I don't know if it's ultimately history is not going to look back at it and be like, oh, that was the injury season. But it does seem to be a little tainted the way things are starting to go down.
Yeah. I mean, even LeBron's hurt and that was another freak thing, mm-hmm. but the season does seem like almost like an outlier or just something strange going on because guys are dropping left and right and it sucks, but maybe it'll make for an even more chaotic playoffs. Maybe that's like, as a fan,
do we want that? Like, my thing is like, is that what we want? Like, do we want chaos and random teams advancing because of injuries? I don't know. Not me.
Sometimes it's cool to see a player step in and make a name for himself in an instance like this. So maybe that's something. But yeah, I mean, yeah, typically you don't want a team
to be advancing. Like chaos, like the Heat going last year. Okay, that's cool. Because, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the product of, now it maybe was the product of the bubble and that circumstance and the team coming together. But it wasn't, you know, Giannis was hurt, so they swept them, and Jason Tatum was hurt. You know, it wasn't one of these things where everyone was hurt, so they just coasted, which is the concern right now. Like Denver, man, it just sucks, dude. Like especially for a few years now, the knock with Denver has been they won't make that move. Like they draft all these guys and they develop their guys, but they have assets. Like if they would just package some assets and pull the trigger on a move at the deadline, they might make a push. And then Jesus Christ, dude, Jason Tatum just on a fast break, just ran into the back of the basket. And now Dame is banged up. What is happening right now?
Are you on the same play?
On the same play. I don't think either of them hurt or hurt bad, but now every time something, it was both of them, they banged into each other. They banged knees, it looks like.
Okay.
But they're both like limping. I mean, it's just.
It's a war zone out there.
I mean, this is just, it's just, I mean, not just physical basketball, but I mean, good God. But no, the thing with Denver for a while was always just like, if they would just package some of these assets that are not going to be stars, the Gary Harris, RJ Hamptons, and just go get that piece that they need. This team is on the brink. Then they make the Aaron Gordon trade. And then you already got people saying like, oh, this team could go out. Us. This team could go to the finals. Then they have that crazy loss to Boston where I said I thought they were broken. And now they are broken, unfortunately. I mean, I'm not to make a joke of Jamal Murray's injury, because we obviously love Jamal Murray on this show, but it sucks. The whole thing sucks, but for them, man. For Jamal, the most, obviously. But for that organization that has done a lot of things the right, they've built this thing the right way. Bring in some good free agents, draft incredibly. Develop incredibly. Go out and make the right trade and do things the right way. Get the right coach. It looked like it was time. And now this happens.
Yeah, it there's not much to say besides it absolutely sucks, especially because like of what Jamal Murray did last year in the playoffs, how competitive the West is going to be. Like they need him to win games for them in the playoffs. So yeah. It's just rough. And it really does shift the landscape a little bit in terms of, you know,
now they are built. They do have two. Well, they have, it's interesting because Facundo Campazzo has pretty much been their backup point guard this year, but in the past Monty Morris has been a very good backup, like more than capable backup and spot starter in when Jamal Murray's hurt. So can Michael Porter take that next step? Right.
Gonna like have to, gonna,
because yeah. Here's my thing. As great as Jamal Murray is probably the emotional leader of that team, but in terms of just a duo talent wise, there's still not many duos as talented as Jokic and Michael Porter Jr. You know, like if Porter hits his peak somehow this year, steps up and takes it to an even another level, even though he's been great this year, they still can be a pretty damn competitive team. They're mm-hmm. deep. They still have it. They got Aaron Gordon. They have Bart. Like they're other four guys in their starting lineup. It's a very good starting lineup. They have Millsap and Jamichael Green off the bench. Like they're still going to be a competitive team. I do think, you know, like you don't come back from 3-1 twice without a Jamal Murray. Right? Yeah. It's just the emotional part is what I think in these tough playoff series, and he's probably their second best player right now. But as from a leadership standpoint, I feel like that's where it's just going to crush them.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing about Michael Porter Jr. though, too, like with Murray down, there's so many more shots to go around. So mm-hmm. This is to me an opportunity for him to take his game clearly to the next level, or, you know, is he going to be less efficient pressing a little bit with the more shots and more responsibility?
Right. And also do they run more sets for him? Do they ISO him more? Do they play two? They try to develop a two man game between him and Jokic. That's not really there, because a lot of times, I see him in their offense. He's a spot shooter, and then he gets his opportunities, but he's a spot shooter. He's crashes the boards. Like, is it time? Is it time to unleash your, you probably don't panic right away because you still have the MVP, the leader for MVP in the NBA. Right. Mm-hmm. And you still have a good team. But is it, you know, are we on the brink of it being time to say, all right, we have this 6'10 wing who could be one of the most talented offensive players in the NBA. Let's just go for it. Let's unleash him and raise up his usage rate and run plays for him and see if he can like do something to replace what we lose, at least offensively, with Murray.
Yeah.
Because that's the only guy who could be the one.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. But what we know about Mike Malone, it doesn't seem like he's the type of coach to hand over the reins, but maybe it's a totally different circumstance.
Yeah, well, I mean, he hasn't been forced into it.
Right. But I just see him as a more conservative coach that isn't going to totally pivot from this injury, but maybe I'm wrong.
But pivot from what? Like, because it's not like he's just going to run all the same stuff with Monte Morris and Campazzo that he was running with Jamal Murray. So right. Something's,
I mean, there's going to be some
tweaks. They're going to have to tweak stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So
I just don't see like an overhaul, but maybe they should. Maybe that is the way to go. I think.
Right. Yep. Well, it does. I mean, it obviously changes everything in the West, right? So the team I've been thinking, I keep thinking about is when we think about the battle in the West is this now. And I was listening to the radio earlier. I forgot who I was listening to, but the guy was talking about this injury, and he made a really good point. The pressure now on the Clippers to win the West is absurd as they stay healthy, right? Because other than the Suns, I mean, like the Suns and the Jazz are the Suns and the Jazz. You know, I think like the more you watch the Suns, they're so good, but I do think they're young. And I think for their first time in the playoffs, I don't know that they're built to make a deep run this year. I don't know. I could be wrong. I just do think they're young when I watch them. Obviously CP3, but the rest of these guys have not done anything. And then Utah's Utah. I don't buy them. And then the other two teams that you think were the favorites to win the West, one just lost their second best player, and the other, the Lakers, we just don't know. So you got to think right now, today, the Clippers beat the Pacers 126-115. Paul George has had like five straight 30-point games. They didn't have Kawhi. But they've been playing good basketball. We don't ever talk about them because we don't necessarily buy them. But they got to be sort of the leaders in the clubhouse in the West just by default at this point.
Yeah, if you were going to handicap it, they would be, I feel like you'd give them an edge over Utah. It's tough. I mean, I'm trying to picture a seven-game series between Utah and the Clippers, and it's tough because I do have a hard time believing the Jazz actually get there. But my gut is that the Lakers get right before the playoffs. And I know that's just speculation, but it is a huge amount of pressure for the Clippers. I mean, going into the season, it was a huge amount after that debacle last year and them seemingly being the second best team in the West. And now, yeah, they've stayed healthy. Other teams have been hit really, really hard. So I'm in agreement that the pressure's ramped up even more for these guys, but it doesn't make me feel more confident they can get it done, you know, like at all.
Paul George is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, he's sick right now. And
it's crazy.
I feel like in his younger years, his game relied so much on athleticism, and not that he's still unbelievably athletic, but he's got like some of this like change of pace, like Euro game now. And it's really fun to watch. Like
I think the past few years, when he went to OKC, it started to develop.
Just tonight, it's really struck me. Just his like craftiness around the rim is unbelievable. And he's always been a great shooter.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's a top 15 player in the NBA, even no matter what everybody thinks about him and the playoff stuff from a purely talent perspective. I mean, there's a clear reason. By the way, Jimmy Butler's back in the game, so that's good. There's a clear reason why when they got Kawhi and then they got Paul George, it was like, oh, well, this team's going to the finals or Western Conference finals. But I still don't really buy their depth. I do think, like, if I was them, even when Patrick Beverley is healthy, I would never play him again. Rondo's just so much better, which is not like not a testament to Rondo by any means. It's just like
Pat Bev sucks.
Pat Beverley sucked, but Rondo's just a better player. He's just a better basketball player. They're both old, but Rondo still does a lot of the same, you know, he does a lot of good things. Like, I think he helps them. I do. I when I saw that, I was like, I didn't understand the trade, but I do think he makes them a little bit better because he's just a better version of what they were just throwing Pat Beverly out there to do.
Yeah. An interesting stat I saw on the Clippers today, and I feel like it's flying under the radar. They are the best percentage-wise three-point shooting team of teams. They termed it volume three-point shooters. I think the mark they said was 30 three-point attempts per game. Mm-hmm. Of any team in history that's attempted more than 30 threes a game, right now they have the best three-point percentage. So, I mean, that's a great recipe. And then you pair that with two stars. They
shot 13 of 28 tonight.
Yeah, they're really shooting the shit out of the ball all season long. So they're on paper, there's no reason this team shouldn't be like one or two.
Mm-hmm.
But they just don't. My personal eye test, which we know that's extremely important. I mean, that's like
the only eye test that you can matters.
Throw out the book when we're talking about my eye test.
Yeah,
they just don't look good. They don't look dominant. They don't look elite to me.
Well, you've sort of talked about it a few times on here, and I do agree. It's like they play as if they're waiting for the playoffs to really play, which we don't think translates to being a winning team, or a championship team. Like eventually you got to put it all together. And I do think that's part of why they went and got Rondo, right? A guy who would never do that. Like, yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks about Rondo. Rondo is not like a phone it in type of guy. When Rondo goes somewhere, plays, he plays. So maybe that's helping them. I don't know. They're old though. I mean, they're old. Serge is still not playing.
That is also flying under the radar. I mean, he's going to be necessary for them.
Yeah, Boogie didn't play, so I don't know what's going on there.
Serge has missed a ton of time, and it's a back thing. You know, those don't just go away.
Yep, he's old. Batum's old. Rondo's old. Pat Beverly's old. Reggie Jackson's not super young. Yeah, they're kind of old. We'll see. I mean, but either way, if you have a healthy Kawhi and Paul George, the way the West is right now, you should be the favorites. Mm-hmm. If, you know, you got to see what happens with the Lakers. But if one of those two guys is not fully healthy, you should be the favorite. But I don't know if I buy it either. And then the other team in the West that has a potential to make that run, depending on all the injuries, is Phoenix. They're now ham-fisting the Heat. They're up 19. And, you know, for the Heat, this is the second game of a pretty rough road trip for them. They won their first game against Portland. They're going to lose this one. You know, they can't score. They just can't score, and they're playing against a great defensive team. I don't even know if Victor Oladipo makes that big of a difference in this game, because it's not like Phoenix is like blowing them out. Offensively, they only have 104 points. The Heat have 85. They can't score against good defenses. It's not a good sign.
No, for them. It's not. I mean, it's still not out of the question for them to figure it out with more games. I guess they're going to work Deadman in. Trevor Ariza is probably not fully acclimated yet, right?
Like Trevor looks good. Well, he had 10 points in the first quarter and hasn't scored since, but he's looked pretty good in the time.
I'm holding out hope because I do root for the Heat. Like, I'm just holding out hope that they can fix this offensive, whatever it is. I mean, they're just not a good offensive team right now. So there's still time to get it right for the playoffs, but we'll see.
Want to hear something fascinating about Trevor Ariza?
Yes.
You can go. I mean, I talked to Stan Remy today, who is a trainer down here in Miami, about the Heat and some of the players on there. And he was the guy training Trevor Ariza down here in Miami before Ariza got traded to the Heat. And they're like very good friends. They're very good friends. They've known each other for a long time. Trevor is from down here originally.
Oh, I don't know.
So he basically said it's always been a dream of Ariza to play down here. And when he got traded to OKC, they were like talking to each other. And Trevor said to him, I got to get to the Heat. I got to get there. And Stan told him, okay, here's what we're going to do. Come down here, work out of my gym, and I'll get you there. That's because he has like a relationship with the organization. Yeah. Like they check in with him because guys work out there and stuff.
Right.
And Ariza just like left OKC. He got their permission. He just left, took like a one bag of like clothes and just came down to Miami for like 3 or 4 months and worked out until the trade deadline and got the Heat to trade for him.
That's big time by Stan Remy. Very cool.
I mean, it's crazy. And then I
just to make it work.
Yeah. Like that. Well, and he's like, I'm not sure if it was technically legal. And I was like, I'm sure Sam Presti heard that there's a potential he could get a second round pick for Trevor Ariza and was like, go wherever you want.
Yeah.
So I don't think maybe it's not legal, but I don't think Sam Presti gave a shit. No. The Oladipo thing, I don't know. Like he wasn't even playing. He also alluded to the fact that this guy, Stan, they said that he has spoken to Vic since the injury and that he was in good spirits, which leads him to believe that that the injury is not that bad, or else he probably wouldn't have been in as good of spirits as he was. So
okay.
It's a good thing for the Heat.
Yeah.
I don't know. Their defense is so good that they have a chance against anybody, but they're still they're struggling so much offensively. They really need Dedmon to be productive for them because Precious stinks.
Like he's just young. Yeah. I mean,
I know. He's not ready. He needs to be in the G League or something. I don't know what, but Bielitsa is not a backup five and Precious is not good yet. So they really need Dedmon to be a good player. The Suns. And it's the Suns at this point. It's like the Suns. Like this is just
the turnarounds. Like to go from not making the playoffs to this elite, I feel like is so rare. You know, like one guy, they add Chris Paul, a couple guys develop, and they're just this great is amazing.
Well, this is I really do. This is the Chris Paul effect. It really is.
Yeah.
Like he does this. Teams become winning teams when he goes there. Now, I mean, look, he turned around the worst organization ever, right? Clippers?
Clip show, yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I guess they had a little run there with like Baron Davis and Elton Brand where they were decent, but really they were like a borderline playoff team even then.
Right.
Like Chris Paul got there with Blake and DeAndre, but when Chris Paul got there, I was like, okay, well, this might be a title team.
Yeah. They were never that with Baron Davis and Elton Brand. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, ultimately this is what Chris Paul does, but then the knock is that doesn't win in the playoffs.
Or gets hurt in the playoffs. Same thing, I guess, but.
Yeah. But also just, you know, we talk about it probably to the point where the listeners don't want to hear it anymore, but if the best player on your team is a point guard, you're not winning a championship unless it's a Steph Curry, who's the best shooter in the history of the game. You know,
so luckily though, Devin Booker could be the best player on this team. I don't know if it's this year, but you know what I mean?
Well, he's the best scorer.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's not like they don't have another good, like Devin Booker is
a potential star.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But they are just, you know, they it's inching their way to that best record in the NBA thing. So that's, you know.
And they're so deep. I think I say this every time we talk about them, but I mean,
they're deep. But some of these guys are just so young, man. Like Bridges, Ayton, even Devin Booker, still pretty young. Mm-hmm. Cam Payne, Cameron Johnson. Cam
Johnson, yeah.
All of them. Dario's still kind of young, isn't he?
I think he's probably like, he's 26. Yeah.
He might
he's
young. Yeah. He could be 40, though.
Yeah, nobody is. But sure.
So that's where that is my thing. That is another one of those things for me where outside of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder, who played in the finals last year, that's where this team's Achilles heel could be. So that it's just a lot of guys who've never been there before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that doesn't matter because you got to get there eventually, like to have experience. You just got to get there.
And Chris Paul is nowhere near slowing down. So it's not like this is a 1 year window or anything.
Yeah. Right. But that's why we're like, even if they play, like even if this team played Denver without Jamal Murray, I still wouldn't lock this team in to beat Denver. To Denver, all those guys are they've all been in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's not a lock.
Even Aaron Gordon's been in the playoffs, you know?
Yeah.
With the Magic. They were bad, but they went to the playoffs. But, you know, Denver's pretty much the same roster of guys who went to the conference finals last year. So, I wouldn't count them out. I wouldn't lock in the Suns to beat that team if they end up playing each other.
You'd probably pick them, right? But you're just not a lock. Definitely not a lock.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably pick them. I need to see what Denver – I really got to see what Denver does without Jamal Murray. I have to see. I mean, I don't think they're going to collapse. And you know what? We truly may not even see a major drop-off until the playoffs. You still might see them win a bunch of the rest of their regular season games.
Yeah, well, because they're going to be going up against teams that are dinged up left and right, too.
And there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, there's just at this point in the year, dinged up and just bad teams. And so, you know, it remains to be seen. I don't think we'll really know the impact. Well, we know what the impact of Jamal Murray is, but we won't know until the playoffs or feel maybe like truly feel it. The Minnesota Brooklyn game that was postponed yesterday was played today, and Brooklyn ham-fisted Minnesota. Not surprising. This is one of those games that we were talking about yesterday that we probably won't discuss in depth because what's there to say?
I did see. Towns and Kyrie both were out for personal reasons. I'm assuming that's related to social justice and things like that.
I think so. But Kyrie was going to be out yesterday.
Okay.
Like, even if the game got played yesterday, they announced on Sunday that Kyrie wasn't going to play. Now, the shooting happened on Sunday, so that could have been why he wasn't going to play on Monday.
Uh-huh.
But it was already announced before the game even got postponed that he wasn't going to play. So I'm not entirely sure.
Right. I'm just something to keep an eye on, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. Well, and then their game tomorrow, Minnesota's game tomorrow is at 4:30 Eastern because I believe that Minneapolis is still on a curfew.
Okay.
So they move their game up because it's another home game, but we will not be breaking this game down in depth. However, the highlight of the NBA day came from none other than fan favorite, NBA Morning Deuce favorite, Anthony Edwards. Let me share my screen real quick because I'm going to play this audio.
Okay.
So Anthony Edwards was asked if – he was asked – can you see – well, you see my screen now.
Yeah.
Asked, how do you feel about Alex Rodriguez being the new owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves? Here's his answer.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What do you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
Oh, my God, bro.
I don't know if that was too low for the people, so I'll play it again. It was kind of low. But I'll turn it up when I edit this, but I'll play it again.
Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What do you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Like, who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
It's amazing.
That is remarkable. That's one of the best sound bites of the year. And he's got like three in the top five, I feel like. But that is absolutely beautiful.
Listen, like, I was thinking about in an age where athletes try really hard to be relevant outside of sports, like on social media, trying to be funny, you know, tweeting and doing their own, you know, content and this and that. This kid is a gold mine, and he's not even remotely trying.
No, he's and just, it's not like he's dumb. It's not, you know.
No,
it's like
he's like, just himself. He's just so himself, and he's so genuine. Awesome. Yeah. He's so awesome. Now, this soundbite becomes even better when you go back to the beginning of the year and you listen to the clip of him in this interview that he did before the season for Timberwolves like TV or something. I don't know what it was, but just listen to this clip from before the season. Okay.
I used to play baseball when I was young. Yeah, it'd be hot.
Really? How good a baseball player were you?
I could have went to the MLB.
MLB?
Yeah.
I am not surprised.
I'm serious, though.
I love your confidence. What positions did you play?
I played pitcher, shortstop, third base, and center field.
Those are the prime positions.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, you were the best player on your team.
Is that the net? Now we talking.
You could hit the ball.
But I was fourth, fifth hitter. You know what that means.
Clean up. Yeah.
Straight clean up on aisle three. Come. I used to play that.
Oh, man. It's just so the best is yet to come. I just hope, I just hope he doesn't say something stupid that people take out of context or something.
I just hope he never changes.
Yeah.
Well, he did say something that people took out of context, and Knicks fans despise him for it.
Yeah, but that's awesome. I mean,
yeah.
God, dude, that not knowing who A-Rod is, it's close to a professional baseball player not knowing who Michael Jordan is. Like, it's. They're not of the same.
And also knowing that he grew up playing baseball.
Right. Yeah.
And that he claims to be like this great player who could have played in the major leagues. It just also means like he's always been this guy, just like super confident about himself and didn't really care about anything else.
Yeah.
Like he was like, I like playing this sport, so I'm going to play it, but I don't really give a shit about like what's going on in
Major League. You would literally have to have never seen SportsCenter growing up to not know who A-Rod is, you know? Like it's almost impossible to be a professional athlete.
You got to think he knows who J-Lo is.
Yeah, So
like what if they were like J-Lo's husband?
They broke up, I'm pretty sure. I think that's
well, whatever, true. You know what yeah, I mean. Okay. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's I bet like, oh, if you that said guy? That, yeah. Like,
that orange guy.
Yeah, that guy. He's just the best, man.
I'm so glad I didn't see that until now because that was a genuine, just me cracking up.
So just incredible, man. It just good on. I mean, I guess the Minnesota media is not intentionally trying to put him in the position to have these responses, but. Just keep doing it, man. Put this kid in front of the camera as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
This was pregame. I was about to say they got beat by 30, but no, this was pregame. But yeah, he had 27, but they still, you know, they got beat down.
Didn't get it done, huh?
He's awesome. He's just so awesome.
I love him.
That was really the only takeaway or the only really thing of importance that I wanted to discuss from that game because it was so cool. There's not a huge slate of games tonight. The only a couple more, the Blazers and the Celtics are
barn burner.
Got a little barn burner. Portland. Oh, we may get some Dame time. We haven't had Dame time in a while. It's 107-105.
I'm nervous to stream it right now
with 2.5 minutes.
My internet, but so I might need to call on you for like some actual good play by play if it comes down to it.
Okay. Good luck. 1-point game. Boston's up 107-106 with 2:45 left.
Okay.
Atlanta beat the Raptors. So there's a couple things to talk about from this game.
There's two talking points that I need to hit on for sure.
Oh, two. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I know one of them for sure. Which is the McDonald's outfit that Trae Young
looked like he was playing 14 McDonald's. I know he didn't play in this game, but he was in a full on. Like athletic jumpsuit with just McDonald's logo and the colors. It was kind of hilarious, but it was
yeah.
Like,
if you obviously can't, you know,
he has to be getting paid by them, right? Like, there's no way you would just wear that.
I don't right? think. So. Well, no, I think this is just what fashion is now. Like when you're rich, and you're famous, you tend to believe. That you can just wear whatever and make it trendy. Now, the difference is Kyle Kuzma, super fashionable. Like he can wear random stuff and it looks cool. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Russell Westbrook, Kelly Oubre, beautiful man. Could probably wear whatever he wants. Trae Young is the weirdest, one of the weirdest looking humans on the planet. So when he wears this thing, he just looks like a goofball. He just looks like a goofball.
That's the only way to put it, really.
He just looks goofy. It's like a McDonald's like baggy tracksuit. It was just weird looking. And I genuinely don't think he was getting paid by McDonald's to wear it.
That would blow my mind.
I feel like Trae Young saw that and he's like, yeah, that'd be fun.
Jesus, here you go. Trae Young hard.
Isn't that how he talks? He kind of talks like that.
I think he sounds pretty weird. Yeah.
He has. Yeah. I know that you were itching to talk about that.
Yeah. I just wanted to point it out because I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, go check it out. If you haven't seen it, go check it out.
I'm sure you can find it. The other thing is Malachi Flynn almost went full Human Torch.
He's been playing pretty good for them.
He had 4 3-pointers in 90 seconds in the final 2 minutes. He went fucking ballistic.
Oh yeah.
Thing close. Yeah. So, I mean, and then he got off.
Oh, good. Sorry.
He got off a 5th 3 that almost went in. That would have it was almost like a Tracy McGrady against San Antonio type situation.
Wow. I saw a funny, Pascal Siakam actually had probably one of his better games of the year in this game.
Yeah.
But I did see the other night he was like 4 for 17. And I saw a very funny tweet that was just like, has Toronto tried shutting down and restarting Pascal Siakam?
Awesome.
Which I thought was very funny.
There's just something wrong. We don't know.
Have they tried restarting him? Which is very funny. For Atlanta, shout out to Brandon Goodwin, dude. Florida Gulf Coast alumni, the only Florida Gulf Coast player in the NBA ever. The NBA from Florida Gulf Coast. Shout out Mike Fly, head coach of Florida Gulf Coast. And it's a big deal for them. Second game in a row starting, second win in a row. Which I also really like it when the Hawks win without Trae Young, especially against decent teams. Their last game was a good win too without Trae Young. Charlotte.
Yeah, they beat Charlotte. And they beat the Bulls before that. That was probably Trae Young
was playing that game. But two games in a row against two playoff teams, right? Well, Toronto's not a playoff team. Yeah. Toronto's not a playoff team. Fighting for the play-in. Charlotte's a playoff team. So I kind of love it because I don't want to be this. I know I'm a Trae Young hater, but I also, I want people to realize like it's not Trae Young that has turned this thing around. It's Nate McMillan.
And
look at the team that they have on the floor and they're winning games with right now. It's bare bones.
Every time I watch this team's highlights, it's the passing that stands out to me. This team is outstanding at passing and they've got shooters. Like they've just got talent. Bogdan Bogdanovich and Kevin Huerter are just good, solid NBA players. And when you've got those kind of guys and a great coach, you're going to win.
Yeah. I always see Heat Twitter, they do this, right? So the Hawks are now 7-1 since Solomon Hill went into their starting lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And Heat fans are like, oh, it's Heat culture. brought the Heat culture to Atlanta.
Jesus Christ. That's the opposite of heat culture is not about one guy, right? So one guy can't.
No, they're saying like he instilled the culture when he entered the starting lineup, not before that.
It just cheapens what heat culture is if you're just going to apply it to one guy that fucking goes.
But it's just what they do. Like I know. The same thing. Like Kelly Olynyk starts going off when he goes to Houston. Like, hey. Guy spent 3 years with the culture. They apply it to everyone other than Hassan Whiteside.
Of course, yeah.
Because everyone hates Hassan Whiteside. So the Hawks stay in fourth in the East. That's a team. I would bet a lot of money. If they stay at four, I would bet a pretty substantial amount that they lose in the first round to either Boston or Miami, whichever team it is. Would you agree?
Man, well, I'm going in the other direction with Boston, just with their. So I don't know. I think the Heat. I would bet the Heat heavy in that.
You wouldn't bet Boston beat Atlanta.
I'm on the fence with Boston right now, dude. They're that like
I what am I just too, saw, but I just don't.
You
buy Atlanta though.
No, I think Atlanta's a good team, and if they're fully healthy, I mean, it sounds like DeAndre Hunter's not coming back, but John Collins is going to be back. Like this is going to be an even more deep team, which is. I think a problem for Boston because their bench is so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think in a first round series, Boston
just be a tough one for me.
Experience wise, Boston, there's no one other than Solomon Hill. There's really no one on Atlanta that's played any. They just traded away their most experienced playoff.
Right.
Which is, I guess,
Capella's got some. Yeah.
Oh, man. Dame just missed a shot with 32 seconds left to take the lead.
Wow.
Now 25 seconds left. Celtics ball.
Boston up one, right?
Yep. 20 seconds. There's 6 second difference between the shot clock. Portland is playing out the last possession or defending the last possession without fouling. Jason Tatum, top of the key. Step back to his right. Bang.
Nice.
Celtics up four.
That was pretty good. I was able to visualize that in my head. Really well done. So 116-112 Boston then?
With 8 seconds left. So that game's over. Four in a row for Boston. Just when you thought it was over, right?
I'm assuming Tristan Thompson's been making a big difference. Playing. Like just defensively, just as a body, just as a way Luke Kornet cannot get on the floor.
Right. Well, yeah, it just helps them not huge. Have to play that's their awful.
Literally match. Huge for them. Yeah.
Yeah. They yeah, 21 minutes, 5 points, 8 rebounds. So, yeah, and it helps Robert Williams not have to play a ton of minutes. Because I think I was listening to a Celtics podcast the other day that was just basically saying, like, what I think we've said a lot about Robert Williams is just he's really talented, but he can't play 40 minutes yet. Like he's a good 20 minutes or so a game. They still don't have a great bench, but – I guess it's not awful when Tristan's there.
And Romeo Langford being back gives him a tiny little, like that's another guy you'd rather be in there than like.
Yeah. I mean, they have Tristan Thompson. I really like Grant Williams. I think Shemi Ojale, I think he's been hurt and he's back now. So that, I guess that's helpful. Oh, wow. Jeez.
Did you write off this Portland game too soon?
Norm Powell just hit like a 40-foot three, 5 seconds left. So now it's a 1-point game with 5 seconds left. So Portland's going to have to foul.
They don't have any timeouts.
And then go the length of the court.
Yeah.
This is true Dame time. This is true Dame time.
Damn, should I try to stream this real quick? I'm going to try to do it. If the internet goes out, I'm sorry, but.
Yep. Atlanta. So yeah, Atlanta, we'll see. I mean, that's the only way that would explain why they're playing so well is that ball movement. And the defense has gotten better again for them. All right. The last game we'll talk about, Utah beat OKC. Not going to talk about that one because it's OKC. Lakers beat Charlotte. So another good game for the top teams in the West, right?
Yeah.
Charlotte is, I tell you what, I said this. I think it was maybe when I was talking to Andrew from the Knicks podcast and he was talking like who you could see maybe falling out in the East. And I said, like, Charlotte is sort of a prime candidate to make
because a dive. The injuries are unbelievable with this team.
Well, did you see their injuries tonight?
Yeah, it was insane.
no Terry Rozier, no PJ Washington, no Malik Monk. And obviously LaMelo's out and Gordon Hayward's been out.
It's ridiculous. I think there might have been one more. No, that's it. Okay. But yeah, I mean, that's so much scoring not out there.
That's their whole team.
And honestly, watching the highlights, it was kind of concerning for the Lakers. That dudes like Caleb Martin look really good.
So Celtics had trouble getting the ball inbounds. They finally got it into Marcus Smart and a second and a half came off.
That sucks.
So there's 3.5 seconds left. Marcus Smart going to the line.
Damn it. I'm like 5 seconds behind you. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. That's what I'm saying with Charlotte is the whole – it's the injuries. So they dropped to seventh now in the East. And the Knicks have won 3 in a row. It's just that, good God, those teams. Like the Pacers can't get healthy. Bulls are inconsistent. Raptors stink. So no matter what, the Hornets are going to be in the play-in. But they might fall, but they might, but they could fall out of that top eight and have to win 2 games to make the playoffs.
I think it's the something about the Pacers makes me think they're going to go on a little run at the end of the season because they were right with the Clippers until the fourth quarter. Let me check a look at the.
Oh, wow. Marcus Smart missed the first one and then missed the second one on purpose. And Portland had to chuck it full court and they lost.
Wow.
And it looks like he's hurt.
Who?
Marcus Smart. I don't know what he's holding. He's holding something. Everyone's hurt. I don't know. They're all hurt. So Boston did win. So that they now. Oh no, that's 4 in a row for Boston. And that keeps them because the Heat lost tonight. They are now a half a game ahead of the Heat for the 5th seed. It's crazy. Eastern Conference, both of these like bottom halves of these conferences are crazy right now. Which is like last week, we were literally writing off, like basically saying how we just didn't buy. We still don't buy Boston as a contender in the East, but they're just a game back of being a top four team now again.
It's really amazing how much one role player coming back or getting hurt can affect things. Like we see Tristan Thompson come back and they really have looked like a different team. But yeah, in my mind, their roster is too messed up to be a contender. Maybe I'm wrong because the star power is too good, but I wouldn't be surprised if I think they'll jump the Hawks maybe. But yeah, this has been as unpredictable from 4 to 8, you know, is just so fluid the whole season. I can't remember anything like it. And it can change
both conferences.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not in the West.
The West, I guess.
1 through 5 is pretty.
Like 6 through 10 in the West is similar to 4 through 8 in the East.
Like I've watched Portland now 2 nights in a row. And I love Damian Lillard. But this is not the same team we were watching earlier in the year. Like, I don't know. I can't believe this team is still 6th. They're not good.
Yeah.
They're just not. Like, obviously, they still have the talented players like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum are both super talented, but this is not a good basketball team.
It's weird. They've almost gotten worse since Nurkic and McCollum have been, like, record wise, you know. I mean, and I'm sure there's more to do with it. I'm not saying they're a worse team with those guys, but we were kind of thinking, like, oh, Dame's keeping them afloat. When these guys get back, they are going to be the real deal, and they've gone the other direction.
Yeah. It's going to be a battle of attrition in those last, like, 6 through – I guess not 6. I was going to say 6 through 10, but even the difference between Portland and Golden State is 6 games. So it's not like Golden State's jumping up that high.
No, because Golden State's not very good.
None of these teams are really good. None of these teams.
Memphis might be the most solid. Well, the Mavericks with Luka, but.
Well, they definitely play the hardest. That's like half the battle now at this point in the year.
Memphis, they're like, Memphis is the only team in here that you're like, is like overachieving, you know, and is like.
Mm-hmm. You San Antonio, know. I guess, a little bit.
Right. Although I expect them to be a 500 team all year long.
Yeah, but
Memphis, they're just going to play hard and they're going to win games they're supposed to, and they might lose to a good team, you know.
Good God, Jason Tatum, his haircut sucks.
Does he have it longer now or
no? It's weird. I don't know. His tape looks uneven. It's not good, man.
I have to sneeze.
He's got to do something about that.
It might be my first deuce sneeze.
It's a weird looking haircut. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's just because he played 48 minutes of basketball.
Could be it.
There's something going on with the hair, or maybe just pandemic hair. I don't know, but it's not great. It's not great. Now, it's not even in the same ballpark of awfulness as Trey Young's hair.
Just bring that up so you could wrap it back in.
No, it's just where my head went as soon as I started talking about bad hair. It's like, okay, well,
there's let me see if people are talking about Trey Young on Twitter, because I only saw it in the YouTube video. People have got to be talking about this god-awful McDonald's.
Did you see Mark Cuban came out and I guess he was in an interview and said that in hindsight, doing the play-in tournament was an enormous mistake to vote for it.
He actually made a couple good points that I saw
from skimming the article. He said, if we're going to be creative because of COVID, we should go straight up 1 through 20 and let the bottom four play in. That this is the year particularly to do it, since the 10 games cut from the normal 82 game schedule were in conference. The worst part of this approach is that it doubles the stress of the compressed schedule. Rather than playing for a playoff spot and being able to rest players as the standings become clearer, teams have to approach every game as a playoff game to either get into or stay in the top six, since the consequences, as Luca said, are enormous. So players are playing more game and more minutes in fewer days.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Mark Cuban knows this, but like, this is exactly what the league wants, is more competitive games that matter. They don't give a shit
about but they are going to have to reevaluate, because when Jamal Murray tears his ACL and LeBron James doesn't play for the NBA wants more games in less days, but they don't want 20 games without LeBron.
Right.
So
definitely. Yeah.
You know, you gotta pick and choose. You've gone, I mean, we're going to end up having a quarter of the games this year without stars, true stars. I mean, we talked about at one point that four of the top five players in the MVP race weren't playing. They can't like that, I would think.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess this is something, well, I guess in a regular 82 game season that's spaced out, then this isn't as big of a deal to Mark Cuban, but he's making it like this just isn't the year to do it, you know?
Well, I think he's also making the point that I think he's also saying the play-in is that having the play-in games changes the way you would play players late in the season.
Yeah, but then having this 72 game schedule that's compressed, I think, is also what he's saying.
He's adding to that. And having to play those guys more in less days, but also having to play them later in the year when you wouldn't normally play them, or you might rest them because games aren't as important because you know you're locked in. Mm-hmm. Because eventually, for the Mavs, for example, if they're the seven seed with 15 games to go, there's a chance that they're like, all right, well, we're six games up. So
we don't care if we slipped.
We don't care. Well, we don't care if we lose a couple. We don't care if we lose a couple games, because we're not going to blow a six game lead in the playoffs. But a six game lead as a seven seed doesn't matter, because then you guys still got to play in the play-in. So you're trying to play up to the six. So it makes sense what he's saying. But I think he's only saying that because they aren't as good as everyone thought they were going
to
be.
Yeah. Luka made a very similar comment prior to that too. So maybe he was just kind of backing his franchise probably player.
But I think they're both, they wouldn't be saying it if they were top four.
Agreed. Yeah.
So, all right. I think that's it. No one commented yet about your top shot.
That offer's off the table, dude. Tobias Harris is safe in my mic.
Really?
No. Somebody can get it.
Yeah, no, we can't. We can't do that.
End of the week.
Legally.
End of the week.
Yeah, you guys have till the end of the week. Thousands of
people listening that also have Top Shot accounts. You guys have
till the end of the week. Okay. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Later.